Let us commence our evening worship by singing together hymn number 666. Hymn 666. Tune Indulgence 547. I'll read the last two verses which brought me to this hymn, but we'll sing the whole hymn. Hymn 666. Poor soul, what is thy hope? On what dost thou depend? Art thou a stranger still to Christ, the sinner's friend? Soon thou must leave thy all below, and then, what wilt thou do? Christians, lift up your heads. Say, what has Jesus done? His matchless grace to you the Saviour has made known. Yes, you shall all his glory see, and from the second death be free. Hymn 666, tune Indulgence 547.
From God's word we read the first 30 verses of John chapter 10. The gospel recorded by John, the 10th chapter, reading the first 30 verses. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling. He careth not the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, Even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. There was a division, therefore, again among the Jews for these sayings. And many of them said, He hath a devil, and is mad. Why hear ye him? Others said, These are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Gracious, eternal, holy Lord God, help us again to draw near unto Thee in the hour of worship. thank thee for thy day of rest. For thy word and gospel. For thy throne of grace occupied at all times by thee. For answers to prayers in times past. We thank thee for thy house, for thy word, for thy people, for thy glorious, precious gospel. We thank thee, Lord, for all the providential benefits we may have in this life. And that thou hast lengthened our days to this moment in time. We ask thy blessing now to rest upon us and upon the worship of the sanctuary of God tonight. Come, Lord, and speak unto us. Bless thy word. Grant that power from heaven, grant that authority from heaven. May we hear the voice of the Good Shepherd this night, and may we know thee and be known of thee as thy sheep, and may we be made good sheep, not wandering sheep. May we be obedient, consistent followers of the Good Shepherd, of that great Shepherd of the sheep. May we be sealed with the blood of the everlasting covenant. May we be made perfect in every good work to do thy will. Pardon, forgive our every sin. Grant unto us that true repentance over our sins, to turn from them. Take away the love of sinning. Alpha and Omega be. End of faith is its beginning. Set our hearts at liberty. Bless, Lord, each one found gathered around thy word here this evening. Bless any who are unable to be here. Remember those who are listening from their homes. And grant, Lord, there may be a word for each one. May thy mercy suit every case. Send none untouched, unhealed, unspoken to away. Bless, Lord, thy church as it gathers for worship in the various congregations in our land this day and in other corners of the world. Bless thy servants and help them as they preach thy word. Grant, Lord, Emmaus Road worship, as it were. Draw near and reveal thyself in the Scriptures. May, Lord, we know what it is to worship at the fountainhead of thy sweet rivers of mercy and of grace. May those rivers flow into our souls and fill them, the barren places and the dry places, like a river. Bless this people, prosper them, guide them, support them, be a wall of fire about them, be a glory in the midst. Bless thine own word as it is preached to them. Bless and help them in their daily lives. Bless and help our friend at the desk and be all that he needs. Remember the deacon gone forth to labour in thy name. Be with him. And do build up this people. Fill them with families like a flock. And grant true prosperity, we pray. Help us now as we come to thy word. And to own and bless it as thy word to our hearts. Let manna to our souls be given. The bread of life. Sent down from heaven. And then, Lord, may we have thy presence near and thy help throughout the days of this week. And the subsequent weeks, if it is thy will. Let the sweet hope that thou art ours, our lives and deaths attend. Thy presence through our journeys shine. And crown our journey's end with heaven at last. For Jesus' sake, amen.
The notices for the opening week are that, God willing, Mr. John Hart is engaged to preach here on Tuesday evening. We hold our monthly prayer meeting on Friday evening, and next Lord's Day there will be a read address during the prayer meeting, and has helped a read sermon during the morning service. And Mr. Bernard Burgess is engaged to preach during the evening service, when the ordinance of the Lord's Supper will, God willing, be observed. And that evening service is to commence at 6:30 p.m. May we now be helped to continue our worship by singing together hymn 133, hymn 133, to the tune Lubeck, number 700. One there is above all others, well deserves the name of friend. His is love beyond a brother's, costly, free, and knows no end. They who once his kindness prove, find it everlasting love. Hymn 133, tune Lubeck, number 700.
Looking to the Lord to guide our thoughts together, this evening we turn again in God's word to the epistle of Paul to the Philippians, the third chapter, in the opening four words in the 10th verse. That I may know him. That I may know him. The Lord's people are brought to know him not just as God and Creator and Lord and Master, but also as the dear Saviour and their dear Redeemer. The very name Jesus means Saviour. Or deliverer, or rescuer. The Lord Jesus has come right where his people are. He has lifted them out of the place of danger which they were in. And he has placed them in a place of safety forever, so they can never again be in that place of danger. As the hymn says, he to save my soul from danger interposed his precious blood. And the name Saviour is very dear to those who know him as such, to those who long to know him as such. Jesus is a mighty Saviour. That means that he is capable or able to save you from all your sin. No one else is. You cannot save yourself. Our love of sin is stronger than our fear of hell. We need to be given a changed nature, a changed heart. That is what God does when he comes into the heart and life of a sinner. Has that change been made by him in your life? Or are you yet as you were born? Will it be said of you one day, depart from me, for I never knew you? Or will he look at you and say, I know my sheep and am known of mine, that I may know him? He is the Redeemer of his people. As Saviour, he has come right where they are. As Redeemer, he has come right where they are. A Redeemer is someone who pays a price to set at liberty a slave. We're all slaves to sin and to Satan by nature. The consequences of that slavery is that we are debtors. to the justice of God. And every time we sin, we add to that debt. And the justice of God rightly demands payment in full of that debt for each and every sin which is ever committed. It cannot be overlooked. It cannot be forgotten. God will not pretend it never happened. He won't turn a blind eye to sin. He won't turn a blind eye to your sin. Jesus Christ has paid the debt in full for his people, and thus has become their Redeemer. If he is your Redeemer, on that day when he went forth to Calvary, your debt, which you owed, was transferred from your account. To his account. That means that you are no longer responsible for its payment. That means that Jesus on that day was charged, pay in full this debt to the justice of God, to the law of God, that the honour of God be restored. Jesus paid that debt in full for each and every one of his people. And if, as we are told, that number of people cannot be numbered, much more can the debt of sin, the total sum, not be numbered by us. And yet God knows it all. What love God has shown in the way of salvation. One man has put it like this: how deep the Father's love for us. How vast beyond all measure. That he should give his only Son to make a wretch his treasure. What amazing love the Father showed that day when he gave and sent his Son into the world specifically with this purpose of saving his people. And each and every one of them are wretches, are rebels, are enemies to God by nature. What did you sing this morning at League? In league with hell, with God at war. In sin's dark maze they wander far. Indulge their lusts and still go on as far from God as sheep can run. Think of the love the Saviour showed in willingly coming to this sin-cursed earth. In willingly going to Calvary as the Lamb of God, as the friend of sinners. In willingly paying that price of suffering. in laying down his life for the sheep. That they may live forever. That I may know him. Do you know something of the value of that precious blood which he shed that day on Calvary's cross? That I may know him. If you know him, you will know something of the value of that precious blood. You will know something of the power of that blood. You will know it was not shed in vain. And all your hope for heaven will rest in what Christ has done. Your only hope of forgiveness will lay in what was done there at Calvary's cross. That I may know him. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. All sin doesn't leave one sin behind. It deals with the whole death. And it is as if the believer never sinned. That I may know him. You're highly favoured if you can join the Apostle Paul and call him our Lord Jesus Christ. One put it like this, love to everlasting love. Led by grace, that love to know. Spirit breathing from above, thou hast taught me, this is so. Oh, this full and perfect peace. Oh, this rapture all divine. In a love which cannot cease, I am his and he is mine. Things that once were wild alarms cannot now disturb my rest. Clothed in everlasting arms, pillowed on his loving breast. Oh, to lie forever here. Doubt and care and self resign. While he whispers in my ear, I am his and he is mine. And some of you can glory tonight and rejoice in that fact that he is your Redeemer, that he is your Saviour, that he has paid your debt. But some of you, perhaps some of you are longing for it. Pray on. Ask on, wrestle on. And the time of love will come when you will clearly say, not only that he shed his blood, but you will say, for me. With some of you, solemnly, you couldn't even care less, could you? It means nothing to you. It means nothing to you because you as yet don't know what you are in your own, in God's eyes. And that's very different to what you are in your own eyes. You don't know yet what sin is in God's eyes. To you it's a little thing, the reality is it's a great thing. You as yet have not seen your danger of facing the wrath to come. Your danger of coming to the judgment day unready, unprepared, to face an unknown God, but you'll have to face Him. Oh, that tonight you may have that question in your soul. Where shall I spend eternity? For you must, and you will spend it somewhere. And if you compare time and eternity, the reality is that we are only here in time, for the very first second of our existence, if you compare it to the rolling ages of eternity. Eternity never ends. Even 1 million years is nothing. Compare to the whole span of eternity. Where will you spend it? You'll spend it somewhere. Either in heaven, with Jesus, with your Redeemer, with your Saviour, with your Sovereign Lord and Master. Or it'll be in hell with Satan. And the master you serve here will be the company you spend a never-ending eternity with. That I may know him. That I may know him as my righteousness. How many of you can say that? Before he died for his people, Christ lived for them. And both his life and his death were necessary. God demanded of each and every one of us perfect, consistent obedience, day in, day out, hour in, hour out, all our lifetime through. And every day we have failed. Christ Jesus, however, did not fail. In his humanity, the same was demanded of him as is of us. And he consistently, every day, honored that law and obeyed that law. He obeyed it because he loved it. He loved his Father who gave that law, and he loved the law. You know, the real reason we do not obey is because we do not love. Oh, our love is not very deep. It's varied, is it not? Christ's love for the law and for God, his Father who gave that law, was always consistent. A constant flame. And it was therefore his delight, his sacred privilege, to obey his Father. as he carried out that work which his Father had given him to do. He did that for others. He didn't need it for himself, because as God, he was already perfect. You can't improve on perfection, can you? But he came and obeyed for the sinner and for the lawless. Jesus, thy blood and righteousness, as the hymn writer, my beauty is my glorious dress. Midst flaming worlds in leaves arrayed, with joy shall I lift up my head. When from the dust of death I rise, to take my mansion in the skies, even then shall this be all my plea. Jesus has lived and died for me. Bold shall I stand in that great day. For who what to my charge can lay? Through Jesus' blood absolved I am from sin's tremendous curse and shame. That is the inheritance of those who are in our test, that I may know him. And if you are brought to see that your own righteousness is pathetically inadequate compared to what God demands, you will come to value and to treasure and to seek after the righteousness of Christ. All the while we are self-righteous. All the while we think that we can merit obedience, merit by our obedience God's favour, we won't think much of Christ's righteousness, will we? But if you're brought to Sinai, to see the broken law that you can never end, that you can never mend, then you'll begin to value this righteousness. The Lord's people are taught to know it. They are taught to need it. They are taught to value it. Do you need the blood and the righteousness of Christ? Or are you like the late chief rabbi, of our land, who led the Jewish community in our land? He died during COVID, but he was once asked, given the fact that you are British, you have been brought up, born and brought up and lived all your life in a Christian land, what think you of Christ? This interviewer asked, how do you regard Jesus Christ? His response was very simple and very solemn. He said, we don't need him. He said, we apologize for our sins on the day of the atonement. And the rest of the year, we don't really worry about it. our own works will take care of that. He said he may be the saviour of others, but he said we don't need him. If he died in that state, friends, he now proves just how much he did need him. But it's too late. But do you need Christ? What think you of Christ is the test. To try both your state and your scheme. You cannot be right in the rest unless you think rightly of him. As Jesus appears in your view, as he is beloved or not, so God is disposed to you, and mercy or wrath are your lot. What think you of Christ? To those in our text, they think the world of him. They think everything of him. They love him. They serve him. They trust him. They follow him. Are you one of them? That is the fruit of this sanctified knowledge. The difference between head work and heart work. A head knowledge will never change the life. Heart work always will. A head knowledge will never teach you to renounce your own righteousness and cleave to Christ's righteousness. It will never lead you to flee to the wounds of Jesus for your sin, but heart work does. That I may know him. Do you know him by that name, the Lord our righteousness? It means his obedience is yours. It means that the Father is well pleased with you for Jesus' sake. It means amazing wonder that when God looks at you through his Son, he does not see one transgression that you've committed. Instead, he sees the perfect, righteous obedience of his Son in its entirety. And he says, I am satisfied, I am well pleased. And he sees that the precious blood of his Son has washed away all your sin. Wiped it out as if it had never existed. I have cast, he says in one place, all thy sins behind my back. That means he can't see them anymore. It means more than that, friend. It means he will never call them to mind anymore. When God forgives, he does it completely, totally, absolutely. I think it's the only thing we read of God forgetting the sins of his people. That is the fruit of the precious blood and righteousness of Christ. Now twice in, it's either Isaiah or Jeremiah, I'm not sure which, we have this name, the Lord our righteousness, and it is instructive and precious. In one chapter it says this is the name wherewith he shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. Two or three chapters on, the language is slightly different. This is the name wherewith she shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. And to me, that reminds me of a husband and a wife, the bride and the bridegroom. You know, on that occasion, there is the bridegroom waiting for his bride. And she eventually comes at the time appointed to that service. And she comes, does she not, in the name that she was born with, in the name that she has lived from birth with, that name she's been known, the name of her father's house. She can't come any other way. But as those vows are taken, and as they are pronounced, husband and wife, in the precious name of the Holy Trinity, she doesn't leave that service as she arrived, does she? She leaves behind her old name, that name she was born with, and from henceforth she will be known by the surname of her husband. Throughout life, she'll be known by that name. And even in death, on her gravestone, it won't revert back to her old name, will it? She'll still have the name of her husband. Why is that? Well, first of all, it is because her husband has a love for the wife. And it's a demonstration of love. It's him saying, I'm not ashamed to own this lady as my wife. And here's the proof of it. She has my own name. Secondly, in taking her husband's name, he is saying, I promise to take care of you. I promise to supply your needs that you will have in our life together. I promise to do all that you need in life for your good. Now, when a sinner comes to God by faith, that first time, we come in the name that we were born with. The name of our Father's house. What is that name? Sinner, that's the name. You can't come any other way. You can only come as a sinner. And if you wait until you're better, you will never come at all. But when we come by faith to the mercy seat, Christ, the heavenly bridegroom, gives us his own name. And in so doing, he is saying, I am not ashamed to own this one as the one I love, as my bride, as my brethren. He gives that name, the Lord our righteousness, to show his love and his care for that sinner. He gives it because the very reason that righteousness exists is that it was for her. And he gives it to say, I will do all that is required for the care of this sinner in time and to eternal days. And that's why the language changes. So this is the name wherewith she shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. That I may know him. May you know him as your righteousness. As well as your Saviour and Redeemer. May you know him as the friend of sinners. This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. That was the charge. That was the complaint, was it not? The Pharisees thought it was a disgraceful, dishonourable thing to say. It is one of the highest praises that Christ has. And poor sinner, tonight, you can take the very words of Christ's enemies that they threw against him and turn it into a plea. And you can ask Christ that as he received sinners on earth, will he not receive you as a poor sinner? And love you and save you as he saved them and loved them. How many of us know him as the friend of sinners because he's been our friend? One there is above all other. Well deserves the name of friend. His is love beyond a brother. Costly, free and knows no end. They once his kindness prove, find it everlasting love that I may know him. That I may know him as shepherd. We alluded it briefly as we came to a close this morning. We read of the Good Shepherd in our reading. Of how when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them. And that means that in Bible lands, the shepherd used to lead forth the flock day by day as they went out from the sheepfold. And also home again at the end of the day. Because there were, and probably still are, beasts that can attack the sheep, it wasn't safe for them to leave them out in the pasture like it is in our land. And so each night they would be folded in a place of safety where the lions and the bears and the wolves couldn't get at them. But they couldn't feed in the sheepfold, so they have to go to the pasture. And the shepherd leads them out. He goes first and the sheep follow him. They follow in his footsteps as he leads them to the pasture he's chosen for that day. That is the illustration of what the Saviour was saying when he said, when a shepherd and the good shepherd leads his sheep, he goes before them. That's what Christ does for his people. He goes first. We follow after. Are you following? In his footsteps? You must follow in his footsteps if you are to enjoy fellowship with him, communion with him, if you are to enjoy his safety and his care, if you are to enjoy the green pastures and the still waters. There's no other way. You have to follow the shepherd. And where he leads, if you go your own way, you'll end up in the wilderness. You'll end up starving, you'll end up lonely, deprived of the shepherd's company and the company of the other sheep. Where did it go wrong? The sheep stopped following the shepherd and started going its own way. That's what it is spiritually. And you know, a sheep has a remarkable ability to get lost. You never hear of a sheep finding its own way back again. Satan may tell you, don't worry, it's only one step out of the way, not far. But friends, it won't stop there. They'll carry on one step after another and after another. Without realizing it, before you know it, you'll be in the wilderness. Then he'll turn accuser. Then he'll turn as a roaring lion upon you. Then your faith will be shaken to its very core. Let us seek that the Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, would enable us to follow in his footsteps and then to continue following. You know, it says in the Song of Solomon, an answer to a question, tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest. Where thou makest thy flocks to rest at noon, why should I be as one that turneth aside by the flocks of thy companions? If thou know not, O thou fairest among women, go thy way forth by the footsteps of the flock. Feed thy kids beside the shepherd's tent. And the footsteps that the flock takes are following in the footsteps of the master, of the shepherd. And he only leads in right ways. He leads his sheep, as the young people's hymn, with love untold, to feed in pastures fair. The feeblest lamb within the fold receives the shepherd's care. Dear shepherd, may I hear thy voice and learn to follow thee. Oh, may thy ways be all my choice, to prove thy choice of me, that I may know him. You'll know his footsteps and you'll learn to follow them. You will follow them as you read the green pastures which are found in his word. That's following in his footsteps. You will follow in his footsteps in coming to the house of God, prayerfully, carefully, with an exercise, with a need, with a longing that Christ himself would meet you here. You will follow in his footsteps when you come to him in prayer and spread your needs before him. You will follow him as you seek to obey the Ten Commandments. As you seek to forgive, as you have been forgiven. You will follow in his footsteps as you are, for love's sake, constrained to come out from the world and to be separate. And nothing less than love Almighty will do that. And there is a separation from the world. We serve different masters. We profess to be going in a different direction, to spending a different eternity. Therefore, it follows that there must be a separation in this life, in conduct, and in spirit too, that I may know him. And yes, there will be a following of him and his ordinances. I thought with great power came this afternoon as I considered that hymn, Humble Souls. May it be a word for one of you this evening. Humble souls who seek salvation, through the Lamb's redeeming blood. Hear the voice of revelation, tread the path that Jesus trod. Flee to Him, your only Saviour. In His mighty name confide. In the whole of your behaviour, own Him as your sovereign guide. Hear the blessed Redeemer call you. Listen to His gracious voice. Dread no ills which may befall you while you make His ways your choice. Jesus said that each believer be baptized in My name. He Himself in Jordan's river was immersed beneath the stream. Plainly here, His footsteps tracing. Follow Him without delay. Gladly His command embracing, lo, your captain leads the way. View the rite of understanding. Jesus' grave before you lies. Be interred at His commanding. After His example rise, that I may know Him. May He know us as obedient sheep. At last, His people will know Him in heaven. Not just by faith, but by sight. The redeemed spirits of God now dwell literally in the very presence of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God rejoices over them, and they rejoice over Him. The Spirit rejoices as He sees the fruit of those who He has guided and comforted and taught. Brought to heaven's glory. The Son rejoices as He sees the fruit of His suffering. The Father rejoices as He welcomes each one of His children home. Footsteps of the flock end in heaven. To be with Jesus and to know Him and to love Him, to worship Him, to commune with Him face to face forevermore. To be made like unto Him. The glory of Emmanuel's land. And they will spend a never-ending eternity in knowing Him. There's always more to know. Of His love. Of His compassion. Of His care. May we then be found in the footsteps of the flock, led by Him, and then at last be with Him forevermore in heaven, there to crown Him Lord of all, that I may know Him. And the power of His resurrection. And the fellowship of His sufferings. Being made conformable unto His death.
May we be helped to conclude by singing hymn 771. Hymn 771 to the tune Eshtayo 332. To know my Jesus crucified by far excels all things beside. All earthly good I count but loss, and triumph in my Saviour's cross. Knowledge of all terrestrial things ne'er to my soul true pleasure brings. No peace but in the Son of God, no joy but through his pardoning blood. Oh, could I know and love him more, and all his wondrous grace explore, ne'er would I covet man's esteem, but part with all and follow him. Hymn 771, tune Eshtayol 332.
Thank you.
Bless, gracious God, thine own word this day. Grant that we may know thy Spirit's teaching, and that we may come to know thee, and trust and follow as Saviour, as refuge, as Master, as friend, as our Jesus, as our everlasting all. Do forgive in thy kindness and compassion all that has been wrong in our worship of thy great and holy name here this day. Dismiss us with thy blessing. Take us under thy safe care and keeping. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the communion of the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, be with us all. Amen.